Right. Well, it's tough to follow that, huh? The kids are awesome. I love that. I love that. So funny with the beards. But the kids did a great job, and also Jasmine and Jacilla. I know they were going to the class, but it takes a lot of time to put that together and edit. And so thank you, parents, for bringing them over. And also just did a great job. And it's fitting because we're right in the middle of Christmas, right? And we're in the middle of this series called God With Us, right? That's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ and what that means to us, right? How many, 2,000 years later, what it means to us to know that we have a God that is with us. It's not a God that is out there, but the God that comes down and gets involved and sees us in the middle of our highs, but also in our lows, right? And you guys have heard me say this before. It's like to walk with Jesus doesn't mean that you're exempt from having issues in your life. Certainly we have salvation. We have the gift of salvation. That's amazing. But we're still going to go through our trials. We're still going to go through our storms, right? And that's the Jesus that I always say, listen, I know it's Jesus, there's the baby in the manger, right? Isn't that movie Talladega Nights where Ricky Bobby, he only prays to baby Jesus? Right? I love baby Jesus, but I love grown man Jesus too, right? Because of the sacrifice on the cross. I don't know why I was thinking about Talladega Nights right now. But oh, baby Jesus, see? But welcome, I'm glad that you guys are here to spend, this is our Christmas service. Obviously, we're still set up in Tear Down Church. We're kind of at the mercy of the district, and they're great hosts. But I'm glad that you're here. We're going to be able to, we're going to dive into the Word to learn more about the birth of our Savior and what it means to us today, right? And so every Christmas, right, you hear this, you can see that on either on Christmas cards or we obviously you come to church and you hear the scripture that Jesus came, right, that Jesus is the reason for the season, right? And then we also talk about peace on earth. You guys hear that's a passage of scripture that we're going to read today out of Luke. But I don't know about you guys, but if you turn on the TV or even if you watch and if you're on your social media, does it seem like that peace, even though we know that God has come, that a Savior has come, does it seem like there truly is peace on earth? Does it seem like there truly is good favor between brothers and sisters, right? It doesn't. I don't see that. And it breaks my heart, obviously, because God so loved what the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes will not be what? You guys know? You guys help me out here? You guys are the smartest church in Southern California, the most beautiful church, right? Right? That we'll not perish, but we'll be what? We put our faith in him and we'll be saved, right? We'll be saved. But when we turn on the TV, what do we see? We see a lot of heartbreak. We see a lot of division. We see wars. In fact, if you turn on the news right now, there's 12 active big conflicts happening throughout the world. I don't know if you know that, right? The big one, you guys know, Ukraine, Russia, the Middle East, things happening between Israel and the Palestinians. There's a lot of division, right? But how about closer to home? Turn on the TV and there's like local things happening. Even in our small hometowns, it's like, man, I never would have imagined that those kind of things happening. And you don't even have to turn on the TV, right? Sometimes in our own home, sometimes in our own family, sometimes in our places of work, we see the conflict and we see what's happening as we push in the culture Jesus out of the picture even more and more. And in this season, we commercialize. Christmas has been very commercialized, right? I told you guys last week, I love the lights. And I love the inflatables, and we actually drive around town and watch, like, you know, I don't know about you guys do that? I do. I have four kids, they're small, and I'm like, let's go drive around town and go look at the lights and all kinds of stuff. And it's probably for me, I'm a big kid. But right now, if we're honest, peace feels like it's the one thing that's really missing in our world and our lives. Families are stressed out, oftentimes finances are tight, relationships are strained, right? And on a global scale, like I said, there's a lot of division. The world can seem like a very loud and a place where we don't find peace. Right? And just what we're here to remind, with today's message, and when we get in the Word, it's just a reminder of God's promise to every single one of us. Right? Not just to people who don't know who Jesus is. It's just a reminder to us, even as brothers and sisters and the believers of Jesus Christ. Because oftentimes, you'll get into the habit of doing what? Into the habit of routine, into the habit of just going through the motions, even in your walk with Jesus Christ. and forgetting that you once fell in love with Jesus, forgetting that he loves you that way, forgetting that it's not just the one time that you raise your hand and you say, yes, Jesus, I believe that you are who you say that you are, but that Jesus comes to renew our love for him and our peace for us every single day. I don't know about you guys, but I need that. I don't know about you guys, but I need that for sure. So let's dive in. We're going to be reading out of today's message is going to be broken up in kind of two different sections. I don't normally do this. I normally pick one passage and then read. But today, because they're linked, we're going to be reading out of Isaiah chapter 9 and also out of Luke chapter 2. And you guys will see as we tie them together, right? Because ultimately, these last few weeks, we've been learning, number one, Jesus is our hope, that in him we find love. Last week we studied and we learned about how he brings us joy. And today we're going to really kind of cultivate and wrap all four of those together, right? And how Jesus comes to bring us peace as well. And so let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. And then also go ahead and have a little tab, go ahead and bookmark Luke 2, because I'm going to read both sections in one shot, and then I'm going to come back and break them down together. Okay, sound good? All right, let's do it. Let's start with Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, chapter 1. And it says, nevertheless, there will be no gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, and a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. And here's where I want you guys to pay attention. It says 9:6. For to us a child is born, and to us a child is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with his justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen? All right, let's stop there. Let's stop there. And the first point that we're going to be picking up from today's message, and it's actually right there, is that Jesus is the promised Messiah who brings us hope. Jesus is the promised Messiah who brings us hope. That's the first fill in the blank. Now, when you're reading passage of scripture like this, oftentimes you can grab it. It's like you're reading the scripture and it's just like something that's hanging and floating in the middle. It's in the air somewhere. Have you ever seen that? But all the scripture is grounded in what? It's grounded in a time. It's written for a people. It's not written for us for sure, but it also has historical meaning and context, right? So it's important that we recognize that. So this passage of scripture is written by the prophet Isaiah. It's written in 732 BC, before Christ, right? This is a prophecy foretelling about Jesus going to be, how he was going to be born, and that he was coming, yes? Now, it's important as you read it, as you look at the first couple of verses there in chapter 9, it says, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbles the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, right? And you're thinking, well, who is that? Now, I know, right? You guys are really smart, but you may have forgotten. So I'm going to tell you guys. So let's go ahead and throw that map up on the screen. Not that one. The map. There it is. Awesome. Thank you, brother. Good job. I like that. See? That's right. It takes time to load. Thank you, brother. But what we're learning about here is that in this particular passage of Scripture, can you turn me down just a hair? It looks like I'm getting feedback. There's the 12 tribes, right? You guys remember that when Israel moved into the city, you guys remember that when they came into the promised land, that all of the land was divided among the 12 tribes. You guys remember that? Of course you do, right? You guys are the smartest and most beautiful church in all of Sangre, California. I'm going to keep saying that, right? So he's talking to somebody, right? Whenever you read this thing, you're just going to like read it. You're like, Zebulun? I don't know who that is. The people from Naphtali, where is that at? Is that like Parlier? Sanger, right? If it said like, you people from Parlier and you people from Orange Cove, Jesus is going to remember you. Then you would get your attention, right? Because you recognize it. It's real to you. It's a real place. When he's writing this, he's writing it to somebody. He's writing it to the people of Israel. So they would know exactly who it's been written to. Now, recognize their land is right here, up to the north, right? You guys know what this little body of water is right here? It's called the Sea of Galilee. Man, you guys are so smart. Told you. And what? Beautiful. Right? Amen. So here's the Sea of Galilee. There's another body of water right here that's called the Dead. Man. Oh, jeez. Some of you guys have just come up here and get this message. I'm just going to sit down. I'm tired. I don't know about you guys. I've been up since about 6 a.m. Amen? So this message is written to these folks right here, Naphtali and also to Zebulun. Now, why do you think that it's written to them in that passage? And it says, in your gloom and in your destruction. What do you think has recently happened to those people? They were what? They had just gotten their tails whooped by the people. And you know how I know this? How do I know this? Not because I am this big old genius or whatever. And like maybe. It's not because I'm so handsome. Maybe. No, it's none of those things. You know why? Because I read chapter 8. And you know what chapter 8 says? Chapter 8 says exactly what happened to them. In chapter 8, it's talking about the destruction that comes on because God is raising up. He's mad because people have forgotten about him. You think that you can go act a fool and just do what you want to do and think that there's no consequences? No. You tried that in your own life. I've tried that in my own life. Guess what? It didn't end well. Make sense? Amen? And so what happens is Israel chapter 8, he's telling them to say, listen, you have forgotten me. I'm going to raise up a people to come and destroy you, right? In fact, up north, right, if you guys know, this is Israel. The country immediately to the north is a country that starts with Si and ends with Ria. What is it? Syria. I didn't even tell you guys. I didn't even give you any hints. I know you guys knew it. The Assyrians, right? God raised up the Assyrians that are to the north. Now, if you're in Judah and the Assyrians are coming, that's bad, right? Because this is a tribe. This is all your people. Yes? But guess where they're going to go first? Where? Naphtali and Zebulun, right? So who's the first to get exiled? Who's the first to become enslaved? Who's the first to be living in gloom and doom and destruction? It's the people of the north. It's the northern people. So when you read it and you read Isaiah 9, it's like, wait a minute. No more gloom for those who are in distress, right? In the past, he humbled the land, the people who lived in Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of all nations. What's he talking about now? He's prophesying. He says, listen, in your current state, I know that there's gloom and there's doom and the Assyrians from the north have come, even exiled and taken some of you as slaves. But he gives them a promise to say, hey, listen, out of Galilee, out of this region, right, I'm going to bring what? It says, will honor Galilee by the way of Jordan, right? Because the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Who is he talking about? Talking about Jesus. Amen. He has seen a great light. Now listen, when you read this passage of scripture, you might say, like, well, what does that mean to me? That was a long time ago, Pastor. I wasn't even a twinkle in my mom's eye, right? Or your grandma, or your great-grandma, or your great-great, right? That was a long time ago. It's a promise that God made to his people. And there's a promise that extends to us, right? And so maybe you're not in one of these areas, right? But listen, every one of us in here, if we're honest, we may run through a battle, going through a storm, through a darkness, through defeat. Some of us have been shackled with anxiety, depression, addictions. And we might not have been slaves in this form, but we might have been slaves to sin, right? And so the promise that's given there is a promise to us too. They said, listen, to you. And sometimes if you're going through, it says you replace your name, right? There will be no gloom and doom because in the past, right, he humbled me. He says in the land, and that's my life, right? It could be me. It could be my name in the land of Reedley or in the land of Orange Cove or Sanger, right? There's come a great light. And his name is Jesus. And in him, we find hope. In him, we find freedom. In him, we find salvation. And that's amazing. Because he's the promised Messiah who brings us hope. He brings us hope. Man, God is so good. Amen? All right, let's continue on. And let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. Now, actually, now we already read Isaiah 9. So let's flip over to Luke 2. Where we're going to be spending a lot of time going back and forth. So let's read Luke 2. And it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so everyone went to their own town to register. And so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth. That could say down. I'll show you why in a bit. It says, so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David. I don't know why land keeps coming out. To the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Say that with me. All the people. Let's try it again, right? I bring you great news, right? It will cause great joy for all the people. Yes, right? We need more coffee in the back. I think you guys are falling asleep. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find it wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest in heaven. And on earth, peace to those whom he gave rest. And the angels had left them and gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. And the shepherds said to them, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had just seen, heard, and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And that's always, you know, you guys have probably been to a lot of Christmas services, right? And you've heard this passage of Scripture read time and time again. We're not trying to reinvent what's happening. We're just here to remind and revisit that God has come. A Savior has been born. And so as we get into this next passage of Scripture, I'm just going to break down what is happening, right? And toggle between Isaiah and also the book of Luke to walk through what is happening. Because we opened up today's message, right? I wasn't that exciting. I was like, oh, there's gloom and doom. And depression and anxiety. And people are mad. And you're like, man, dude, I can't feel good about Christmas. I want you to remind me about all my problems and all my bills. I see that. I can just turn on CNN and see that, yeah? Right? But listen, it's just a reminder that this we live, yes, we're very blessed. We live in the land of milk and honey. I don't know if you know that. We totally do. And so we are very blessed. But we are living in some very dark times too. So just a reminder that the promise that was given to them, it was also for us. Now, I don't know about you guys. Have you guys ever been in a place where there's been like a power outage or the lights have gone out, the power's gone out, and it's absolutely pitch dark? Has that ever happened to you guys? I used to work in San Francisco in the emergency department. It was a big department in the middle of the building, no windows at all. And so I was going actually in the ER one day, I was going about my business, visiting a patient, and all of a sudden, the power went out. It was even like when you watch movies and it goes, you hear everything powered down. Immediately after that, what do you hear? Like screams, right? And then there was an audible, I'll never forget this, there was an audible gasp. Like when it goes, is that what happened to you? Right? Everybody do that at the same time. 1, 2, 3. See? There's something about that. It's like, and then a scream. And I just remember there was an absolute, like, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't see anything. Like pitch dark, I couldn't see anything. And then somebody from the nursing station, I could hear them phone. This is I'm old, guys. This is before you had all the young people are like, come on, pastor. It's not a big deal. Just take out your phone. And just like, okay, I'm old, okay. There wasn't phones on our, we used to play Snake on our phone, guys, okay. We're dating ourselves. There was not that flashlight that was all fancy, right? So I heard somebody rustling around. Somebody opened a drawer and pulled out what? A flashlight. And in all of that, everybody gravitated towards what? The light. Because everybody's like, oh my gosh, you have a flashlight? Until we started to find more of them in the building. And it was like, because what? When you're living in darkness, you want to gravitate naturally towards the light, right? And so listen, what we're learning about today is that the world was living in darkness and that light broke through. His name is Jesus Christ. He came to save us. And as some of you guys, again, some of us, we need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded of his goodness. Because as people, we forget. Don't we forget things? Yeah. Parents in here, ask your kids if they don't forget. How many times do you have to remind them? How many times? Once, maybe? Twice? How many times? 20 times sometimes, right? How many times am I going to have to tell you? Some of you guys are about to catch a case, you have to remind your kids so many times, right? You're like, how many times do I have to tell you to, like, you're going to call CPS on me. I mean, you don't do what I tell you. Right, but no, we need to be reminded of his goodness, right? This is why we do what we do. We get into the Word, and even though you said, oh, I've read this chapter already, I know it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, oh, I know it. It's tattooed on my heart. It's like a Jordan Sparks song. Right? It's tattooed on my heart, right? Is that Jordan Sparks? Yeah, see? But no, we need to be reminded of his goodness, man, honestly. Like, I don't know about you guys, but when you come on Sunday or you... Man, don't you need to be reminded that God is good, that God loves you, that your sins are forgiven? Man, we need that. I need it, you know? I'll be quite honest with you. We're not exempt from the storms. And so God came, right? That He gave us a Savior, a Son. And we're reminded of all of that in Luke chapter 2. So today, maybe you're feeling, right? Maybe you're feeling discouraged. Maybe you're walking in that little bit of a darkness right now. This message is for you. That Jesus came to save you too, right? Not just me, not just the old people. Not like, oh, the old people, they have faith, but you don't know what it's like to be young. I was young once upon a time. Let's be honest with you. I keep telling you guys, I used to have awesome hair. One day I'm going to show up with my wig like the way it was in high school. And you'll be like, who's that? I tell you guys this last week. I told you guys, when I got married, I have a picture of a wedding picture of in my office, right? So much I love my wife, see? Guys, pay attention. This ring cuts circulation off, but also cuts circulation off. You know what I mean? You guys know what I mean. See, you guys know what I'm talking about. So somebody walked into my office, and they're like, who's that dude up there with your wife? I'm like, what are you talking about? He has all kinds of hair. I said, that's me, bro. Like, why would I have a picture of another guy with my wife in my office? That's me. And that's just a reminder, right? I keep that as a reminder of how much I love my wife. I keep pictures of my kids as a reminder of how much I love them. It's a relationship. And so when you get into the Word, right, it's what? God is a God of relationship. He's not a God that's out there to say, Hey, I'm just going to email you. I'm going to text you. I'm thinking about you. God is like, you're in the middle of the storm. Your heart is breaking, and God sends you a praying hand emoji. I see you, right? Does that make sense? No, God came. That there was darkness and that he came. He got involved. He rolled up his sleeves. You know, one of my pet peeves is like, this is, be honest with you. One of my pet peeves is, if, and this is not a negative, if you're around me when I'm working, I don't like to talk. You might say, like, what's wrong with Pastor? He doesn't like to talk. He's mad. He must be like Tupac right now on the inside. He's in a Tupac mood, right? Yeah? But when I'm working, I don't want to talk. I just want to work. I want to get things done, right? And one of my pet peeves is to what? Stephanie knows this. Is for people to watch me work. One of my pet peeves is for people to watch me work. I said, man, I'm already married. I don't need another supervisor in my life. If I'm working, you better what? Help me or go do something else, right? I need somebody that wants to roll up their sleeves and get involved to help me, right? And this is why I love Jesus, because Jesus was watching me struggle my whole life. And he was a prayer hand emoji for you. I see you. Keep trying. No, he came and he pulled me out of my mess. He came and he saw me, right? He came, he saw me trying to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders like a dummy. And he says, that's not for you. You're trying to take my job, right? You do you and let me do me. And sometimes we make a habit of trying to do God's work for him. You're not God. Let him be God. Amen? Rest in that. Rest and know that you're not God. You're not in control, that God is in control, that a Savior has come. Rest in that. I need to be reminded of that. Because number two, Jesus is a God who shows us love. Number two, Jesus is a God who shows us love. Because it says in chapter 9, this is for us, a child is given, right? A son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, we see that it says, and she gave birth to a firstborn, a son, and wrapped him in clothes, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest available at the inn. He didn't arrive, right, with power and prestige. He arrived in humility. He didn't shout instructions from heaven to say, I love you. Okay, keep trying. I love you. He didn't do that. He came. And this is how you know, right? This is how you know when people really love you. How do you know? They show up. They get involved. In the middle of all your drama, in the middle of all your mess, they show up anyway. I just told you guys last week, I love me some Netflix Christmas movies. The Prime ones are pretty good too. And they're good. There's romance and love and all that kind of stuff. And it's, but you've also heard me say this, that you never have truly loved until you what? Have absolutely suffered for that person. Have absolutely sacrificed for that person. At Christmas, we celebrate Jesus in the manger. At Easter, we celebrate Jesus on the cross. And that's how you know that God loves you. Because it's going to cost you something. You know, doesn't it? The relationship starts off all awesome. Oh, I'm thinking about her all the time. And she's so pretty and he's so handsome. And we like all the same things, you know. We order the same things at Taco Bell, you know, whatever. Wherever you guys go. You guys even talk like that, young people. All excited about love. Yeah? That's good. But then eventually reality sets in. Right? Making sense? Every person that's been in the relationship knows exactly what I'm talking about. Like, what happened to you? Where did you come from? Like, you're not the person that was so nice to me, taking me out on dates and all that kind of stuff, right? No? Familiar? The real, oh. Right? Because inherently, as people, we're selfish. We are. Yes. I love me some me, and I'm always on my mind, right? And so we have to make sure. And God comes in, and he brings people in to what? To prune. But it doesn't feel good when it prunes. some of us have had those bad tendencies, different things in our lives. It's like the closer that I want to get, right? It's a branch right here. The closer I want to get, it's like, hey, you're poking me in the eye with that thing. Like, stop. You're hurt. And God wants to come in and says, yeah, that part of you that's so selfish, the part of you, he starts to what? Cut that off. And like, hey, that hurts, God. I just, over here, this feels better. This feels comfortable. But God didn't come to make us comfortable. He came to be more, make us more what? Like him. He came to teach us how to love. The world says love like this. It's all easy when it's convenient, when you have time, when you're not on your Instagram and your Facebook and whatever else the young people do now and the old people do too. Right? Then love like that. No, Jesus says, man, I'm going to love you sacrificially. I'm going to show you how to love. It's going to cost you something. You've heard me say this before. It's going to cost you everything. What did it cost Jesus? It cost him everything. So this is how we know that Jesus is a God who shows us love. Love is sacrificial. Love is best proven in presence, right? When someone shows up in your hardest moments, that speaks louder than words. We make a mess of things sometimes too, right? We think that we have to say the right thing. Oh, I would go, but I don't know what to say. I have to say the exact word. I better say the back. Let me chat GPT this before I go over there. People don't care about all that. You know what they want to know? They want to see you. They want a hug. They want to know that you're going to go through the storm with them. They want you to hold their hand. That's what Jesus did when he came down, right? He came down that we might know him. And he shows us how to love. Love is going to cost you something. It's sacrificial, right? And let me just say that because I have this in my notes. You know, a lot of people, we mistake love for like lust. And you see it, a lot of it is very sexualized. Love is not sex. You're like, wow, why are we talking about that at the Christmas service? Because you need to hear it. Love is not that. Love is not that. That is a part of love. It's a part of intimacy. God has given us a blueprint and a plan for how he outlines that, that there's a proper place for us, and it's an amazing thing, but love is not that. It's not that kind of intimacy. God is a God of intimacy and relationship first. And there is a commitment behind that. You think that God was lukewarm when he sent his son to earth? He wasn't. He was what? He was fully committed. Right? And so I'm just telling you guys right now. Right? You might, because the world says, oh, this and that, and body counts and all that kind of stuff people talk about nowadays. And it's like, that's not of God. That's a different, that's lust. That's of the enemy. Because I'll be quite honest with you. We were made for intimacy and relationship with God and with one person. And it's going to cost you something. So be very weary of somebody that's saying, well, if you loved me, you would do this. You say, the pastor said to shut up with that line. I'll just be honest with you. Okay, let's get back in the car. My wife's like, get back in the car. Get back on. Take us back to Christmas. But love sacrifices, right? I'm just being honest with you. We can't just say it. We can't be blind to what we see in the culture, yes? Love costs you something sacrificial. Be another message. That's a teaser, like a movie. We'll do another series on that one. Amen? Because we are loved, right? We're called to reflect on that. And at the same time, love other people. So listen, I don't know about you, if you know this, but Christmas is a hard time for people. Yeah? Why? Because you're oftentimes grieving the loss of a loved one. What do you do at Christmas time? You gather, right? You have family traditions. And guess what happens as we get older? The people that we love, some of them start to pass away. Some of them go with Jesus, right? And so people start to feel that loss, that emptiness. So this is the time for you to reach out to somebody that you know that might be going through something. Or just check in and say, hey, the Lord put it in my heart. How are you doing? Let's go grab some coffee. See them where they are. Does that make sense? You get to be Jesus' hands and feet this season. And so make sure that you are showing, reflecting God's love in this time of year as well, right? Because we're loved, we're also called to love each other in this season. that might mean as well, right, that in this season, you might have to go and reconcile a relationship. I thought I was just going to go to parties and open Christmas gifts and eat tamales. That's the Christmas we like, yeah? Don't we love that about Christmas and the lights? But God is calling us to what? To reconcile, to show our love. And so listen, if there's something you have, if you have to make that right with somebody, this is the perfect season to do it, you know? Because tomorrow's not promised to any one of us. And sometimes, oftentimes, right, the wars are on TV, but they're also within the family. They're also closer to home. And God has what, come to give us peace and hope and love and joy. And so I know when I talk about reconciliation and I talk about doing this, it takes two parties, right? But forgiveness is a gift to you. Right? The other person, you have to have two parts that are willing. But listen, God came to set you free from that bondage too. He came to set us free from that kind of weight. So maybe that's what God is calling you as well in this season. Number three, Jesus brings us a joy that transcends our situation. We talked about this last week. For an hour, we talked about this last week. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news that will be a great joy for all the people." Not just to them, but for us. God's blessing extends down, right? It's a joy to all people. And we talked about the joy of the Lord being with us. Not in the presents that we give. Because isn't it nice even when you get a present that you really wanted? After a while, it gets old. It breaks down. It gets outdated. And you have to get a new one. It's a true story. I still have the iPhone 8. See? It's so old that it's like vintage now. I think it's cool again. Young people, the phone. I have a phone that has a button at the bottom. It's called the home button. See? People are like, "What? Man, that's an old phone, Pastor." Still works. It's paid for. But everybody's been... The true story, though, it takes terrible photos. Anyway, I'm not going to say. It was time for an upgrade, okay? So for Christmas, that's what we're getting. My wife's getting me a new phone. All right, it was time for her. Try to see me all blurry in my pictures. So. She wants to have good, lot of quality to when she sees my, when I do selfies. All the upgrades, that's right. But Jesus brings a joy that transcends our situation, right? That's what I'm saying. It's like, man, we need that joy of the Lord, right? Not the gift, not the blessing, but Jesus himself. That's the true gift that we have in God, that you have a relationship with God. Not the things that you get out of it. Because if you're just interested in the things that you get out of it, you're a what? You're a what? What do you do that in? If you see it in the world, that person is only some, they're only with that person for material possession, what do you call that person? Call him what? A gold digger, right? That's right. She gives me money when I'm in need. She's a gold digger. You guys know that song? I'm telling you guys, right? I was cool once upon a time. I remember that song. I'm not going to sing it like Jamie Foxx, though. She gives me money when I'm in need. Oh, she's a gold digger, right? But listen, you guys recognize, you laugh at that because you probably know somebody. I know a gold digger around here and there. You can know people that are like, oh, yeah, yeah. Nobody in this room. Other people, though. We're going to pray for them. Okay. But you recognize that there's something's happening that's not right, yes? Like, you shouldn't be with that person. You're just with them for their money. That's not good, right? Listen, let me see. I'm going to connect it right now. I said, where are you going with this thing? Listen, when you're praying to God and you're only looking for the blessing and the miracle, you're a God gold digger too, right? If you're, oh, God is good because he's blessing with this and that. No, how about just God is good? That you have the gift of salvation, that God is enough for me. Not my trial, not my storm, whether he answers the prayer or he doesn't, God is good anyway. And I'm satisfied in him. Right? So I know there's no God gold diggers in here, right? Because we love Jesus for who he is, amen? We love God because he's good. Does that make sense? I know, I was trying to connect. My wife's always keeping me honest up here. Where are you going with that? That is not in my notes, okay? Sometimes God speaks the Holy Spirit. Amen? Number four, right? Number four. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he restores our heart. I started this message with there's a lot of conflict, anxiety, things that are happening in the world. You could put on a straight face and say, no, I'm good, I'm good. Don't lie. God knows all and sees all. You can ask me, am I having the best week? No, I'm not. Is my brother having the best week? No, he's not. Is my brother having the best week? Maybe. He's happy. He gave me a big old cheeser when I said it. I was going to say, yeah, maybe you are. But sometimes you're not. Listen, one of the things that we got to get over is the fact that we got it all together. I'm good. Look at my life. It's so awesome. My Instagram. I learned how to do this. When you take your picture, you're not supposed to say cheese. You know that? You're supposed to say prude. You know that? Prude or prune. Why? Because you naturally make that. Put your cheeks and your prune. That's how you're supposed to smile. I don't know if you guys know that. I just learned that this week. See, I'm still kind of cool. You will never see me post a picture like that on my Instagram, I'll be honest with you. But what I'm saying is that, like, listen, we live in a world where we try to fake it till we make it. You're happy. Oh, I'm so good at this. Look at my food. Look at my outfit. Look where I'm going. Stop faking it. Stop it. Why? Because God sees the heart, man. God came for authentic relationship. He didn't come for the fake version of you. He came for the version of you that is broken, that is flawed, that is messed up, that says, you know what, man, Jesus, I need you. I need you. And that's all of us. And even as sometimes as believers and we're walking with the Lord for a long time, we start to become professionals at it. I'm good. Praise God. Yeah. No, stop. Praise God for real. In the good times and the bad times, it's like, man, brother, I need you to pray for me. I'm going through this drama right now. I'm having a conflict, right? Listen, just being real with you right now, this season of Christmas, a lot of times it's lights and this and that, but God came to see us at our need. That's why we find our peace and our hope and our joy, and that Jesus truly is the Prince of Peace, because we need our hearts restored. Don't you need your heart restored by Jesus? Yeah, amen. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 says, for us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, not on your shoulders. Right? You need to be reminded of that. Don't you try to carry the weight of the whole world, the weight of your whole family, the weight of, right? And the weight of the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He says, what, man? What we're seeking for, our home with him, the kind of peace that he gives us, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on, forever, right? And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And Luke 14 says, glory to God in the highest, heaven and earth, and peace to those on whom his favor, what? Rests. So listen, if you're running around trying to figure it out, stressed out, anxiety, depressed, all that kind of stuff, you need to let it go. Not God. God is God. He can carry it. He came to do away from that. He came to take the yoke off of the oppressed, right? Off of the stress and the worry, and we have to trust him. That's Jesus. The Savior has come that we might have peace in our hearts. It's not a temporary political peace, right? Not like the, you know, I don't like to talk politics because some of you guys might have voted for the elephant and some of you guys might have voted for the donkey. And that's where, there's already enough division, yeah? We don't need to talk about that kind of stuff. We're not even talking about the political peace, the FIFA Peace Prize, all kinds of stuff that's happening. We're not talking about that kind of peace. We're talking about real peace. And I'll be quite honest with you, the greatest conflict that we can have is a division between us and God. And Jesus came that we might have peace with God, that we might have a way back to the Father through the Son, and filled with the Holy Spirit, we might live a blessed life. But it's all because Jesus came first. It's not a temporary thing, right? So if today, if your heart feels restless, I invite you to feel Jesus' peace. If you're trying to carry the weight of the world, don't. You're not God. Let Jesus carry that. And if you're going through the stress and anxiety, let Jesus be the Prince of Peace in your life today. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. And we're going to get ready for communion. Jesus didn't just come and stay a baby, right? Some of you you guys are like Ricky Bobby and you like the baby Jesus. He grew up into a man and he fulfilled his mission on the cross. And he came to be what? The perfect Lamb of God. The sacrifice to give his life for the forgiveness of our sins. And this is always a reference to the book of Exodus. If you guys remember the Passover meal, when the blameless, spotless lamb was sacrificed and they used the blood, put it over the doorposts, so to have it be a sign as the angel of death came upon them, he would not enter and they would be saved. And that's why they recognize the Passover. When we celebrate communion, we remember that too, because Jesus made reference to that. And he said, "But do this in remembrance of me." Right? He knew that he was preparing. And even as you see how the Last Supper took place, that it was all coming together. Nothing that God does is by accident. That was a Thursday. The Passover preparation meal was in place. And Jesus was preparing his disciples in the upper room. And they were getting ready to break bread. And he was telling them that he was going to give his the following day for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's what we celebrate communion. And we're celebrating that Jesus has come. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your goodness and your kindness, Lord God. Thank you that you are an amazing God. Thank you that, Lord God, as we celebrate this service, that in you we find hope. That in you we find love. In you we find joy and peace. And Lord, you're not the God that's out there. You're the God that sees us, that cares, that you want to get involved. And so, Lord God, help us to put our faith in you. To trust you, Lord God. Restore our hearts, Lord. Father God, continue to work in us, Lord God. Some of us are walking around, Lord God, in the lies of the enemy, leaving what we see, Lord God. We look in the mirror and we don't like what we see because we believe the lies. We have to look a certain way, act a certain way, talk a certain way. We have to drive a certain kind of car. We have to have a certain kind of job. We have to get into this certain kind of school. We got to live all these things, Lord God, and you don't care about any of that, Lord God. You care about us first. You see us for who we are. In all of our insecurities and all of our flaws, you see us first. And you love us still. As we celebrate Christmas, Lord God, the greatest gift, Lord, that you've given us is just a reminder of how much we are loved as we are. Flaws and all. Insecurities and all. Broken as we are. You came to heal us and make us whole. You came to restore our hearts, Lord God. More importantly, you came that we might have a way back to you and that our sins would be forgiven. Lord, as you get ready to celebrate communion, we remember that. Remember what it cost you. Just didn't come down and say, no, it cost you something. You sacrificed for God. And I say this all the time. It cost you everything, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the reminder that you have given us, Lord God, to celebrate communion in this way. Lord, help us to renew our relationship with you. Restore our hearts back to you, Lord God. Lord, as I'm praying right now, Lord, I just ask, Lord, for all of us, Lord, if we've sinned against you, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord God, for the sins that we commit and forgive us for the sins that we omit, Lord God, when we're disobedient. Forgive us, Lord God. And Lord God, if we need to forgive somebody in our family, Lord God, our friends, Lord, help us to humble ourselves first, Lord God. You came, Lord God, you humbled yourself, Lord, and we're called to be humble too, Lord God. Your word even says that if we don't make right, Lord God, if we don't forgive others, that you won't forgive us, Lord God. So restore our relationships, Lord God, with each other, but also with you. Father God, Lord God, just I'm praying right now, Lord, that as we all get ready to take communion, Lord God, number one, communion is for believers. Number two, that we examine our hearts, Lord God, because your word tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians that we ought to examine our hearts. Verse 27 says, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body of the blood of the Lord. And so everyone should examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink with concerning the body of Christ drink judgment upon themselves. So Father God, while I'm praying, Lord God, I want everybody here to be praying, Lord God. Number one, help us to get right with you first. Help us, Lord God, forgive, Lord. Put in our hearts, Lord God, if we need to restore some relationships. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you that you've come. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord, on the cross. As we pass out the elements, help us all to keep praying, Lord God, if we need to. Lord, work, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, move in this place, Lord God, as we remember, as we get ready to take communion with you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took a cup, saying, this is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have come. Thank you that you have loved. Thank you that you have given your life, that you are sacrificial and you're giving, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice, Lord. Thank you for giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit, a church that we can belong to, Lord God. Brothers and sisters that can encourage us when we're down. And thank you, Lord God, that you have come. We might be able to walk and live an authentic life in who you are, Lord God. Or you're, I don't think you came, Lord God, and sacrificed the way you did for us to live legalistic lives. You came to give us an abundance, Lord God, in relationship. And that's what we celebrate this Christmas season. So help us to go and be safe, Lord God, when we gather. And even tonight, Lord, as we gather and worship and have a break bread together, Lord God, will you be there, Lord God? We know you're going to be there. But Lord, help us not to forget. Help us not to forget what it costs you, Lord. And help us to return, Lord God, to you. That you are our first love, the greatest gift we could ever receive, Lord. Not anything that's under the tree, Lord God, but you, Lord God. Seated at the right hand of the Father, greatest gift, Lord God, that humanity has ever received. For we love you, we praise you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.